morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how have you been?
Can't believe hockey's on the way.
Hockey is absolutely on the way. I was checking out the tickets and everything last week and kind of putting things on the schedule, and yeah, it's about to get pretty busy around here, and we got kids hockey too.
You're wearing a hockey shirt right now, man.
I am wearing a hockey shirt right now this morning. Yeah, so I picked this up on my trip that week. I missed
the
show.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's back in season, and we'll be excited to want to support our local teams and see how that's going. So that, folks, is Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua, our resident in-house lending expert. Tom, how have you been?
You know, I am doing absolutely fantastic, Lance. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me.
Good. Yeah, you betcha. Had a good Labor Day weekend last weekend.
Yep. Got up in the mountains and spent some time up there and put around the four-wheelers.
A little fresh air?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, great.
Fresh air and horsepower on the four-wheelers.
No
like
concrete,
it.
No stoplights, no traffic. It's awesome to get out of town.
Well, that's fantastic. This weekend, the big local story for real estate, if you haven't seen the signs or haven't gotten your tickets yet, a lot to do this weekend and next weekend, because we have the 2014 Parade of Homes starting right now as we speak. Actually opened at 9 o'clock, so that is today and tomorrow from 9 to 5. We also have Wednesday this week open from 1 to 7. And the next weekend, the 13th and 14th, those homes open again from 9 to 5. So, once again, you can get your tickets at the Tri-Cities at the Circle K location. So, you can swing in there and get tickets. $10, that gets you the full-color magazine, descriptions, addresses of the home, a map, and also turn-by-turn directions.
And don't they have an app for that, too?
They do, and that's in those turn-by-turn directions. So, pretty fantastic app that you can make it a lot easier to use. And then we're going to have on the show Jeff Losey, the executive director of the HBA, to give us kind of a mid-parade update and how things are going. So don't miss next week's show as we get a great opportunity to get an update on the local HBA and an update on the Parade of Homes. So yeah, if you're looking for something to do today and tomorrow, swing by Circle K, grab a ticket, and check out some of those Parade Homes. These builders spend an amazing amount of time and effort and energy to really showcase and highlight what they do. And it is a fantastic time to get a glimpse into other homes with so many open at the same time that you probably would not get that opportunity any other time of the year. So definitely take advantage of that. Get out there and check out some of those houses for sure. Now, we always like to throw in our crazy national real estate story. Mm-hmm. And this week, it is the big unit. Mr. Randy Johnson himself looking to liquidate his 25,000 square foot estate in Paradise Valley out there in Arizona. So this house is 7 bedrooms, 12 bathrooms, detached guest house, commercial grade fitness facility. This estate is crazy.
Batting cages.
I was just going to say,
batting cage, pitching area. The pictures they show online of the gym are incredible. Actually, the whole house, I see a lot of these as I prepare for the show each week and try to find these stories. And the pictures of this home are probably one of the most incredible that I've seen. I mean, it just, the garage looked like living space to me. Hmm. There was a car parked in there, but it looked like, I mean, we're talking like wood beam ceilings in the garage, painted floor. It just goes on and on. That is definitely one worth jump online, type in Randy Johnson House for Sale, Arizona. Pops right up, and this place is absolutely fantastic. It's $25 million fantastic, but it is fantastic. So it's fun to look through. So go to the Parade of Homes today, and then also jump online and look at some crazy, crazy high-end real estate. So one of the things is, like I said, we always say, what's happening, what can we talk about in the show that relates to local real estate? So a couple things that we have going on, and I kind of just sat down and put together a list. and I came up with 8 things that can wreck a deal. So we spend a huge amount of effort and time, and you see the signs and the advertising and trying to get for homes. You have to get a deal under contract and get a home under contract. Now, what can happen? What kind of bombs can come up that can blow the transaction out of the water?
Lance, you've probably seen them all, haven't you?
Well, I would hesitate before saying all. Because I still, to this day, have
new things come up, right?
Surprise me. But I've seen a lot. and most of them, I would think. But I am still continually surprised. It keeps our job interesting. But the first thing that I wrote down that just, I'm shocked that it even still happens, but it does. And I wrote down the number one is lack of real buyer pre-qualification. And I'm going to go a little deeper here, and I'm not just talking about your pre-qualification letter or that you would get, or pre-approval letter that you would get from Tom over here. I'm talking about knowing a buyer's situation, knowing what they can do, and knowing that they're not contingent upon any sort of surprises. I'm talking pre-qualifying a buyer to the point where you've talked to them about what they're planning on doing, how they're planning on doing it, and if they can actually close this deal. Now, a lot of people are thinking, what could you possibly be talking about? Well, one of the things we find a lot of times, and I tell you what, we don't find this with Tom Coyne at Umpqua, but one of the things we find sometimes is that people will go to a website, they'll input their own information with no verification, and they'll get kicked out a pre-approval letter. It'll just say, oh, you're based upon the information you inputted on a website, you're pre-approved. We still get those. Today. We get those with
that
our
offers. That blows my mind even hearing that.
Now, I mean, you aren't blowing your mind anymore. Sometimes we don't even get them. Like, people just assume we should think they're ready to go. And so that's a step even off the radar. We're not even going to bring that into this room. But if now we're talking about letters where people have put in some numbers and have not verified any of it, and they're bringing us those letters. Okay, what happens is what a lot of people don't understand is you enter into a contract, a seller is working with their agent, they're like, hey, great, we got an offer. Yeah, we saw a copy of their pre-approval letter, it looked like they were good to go. And then 2 weeks later, you're telling that, so you're going back to that seller and you're saying, hey, there's been some problems in underwriting and some things have come up and they can't buy the house. And the seller's first question is, what are you even talking about? Underwater? Under what? And you're like, no, underwriting. So we've got Tom in the studio with us here, and I'm going to use our expert that we've got here. What is underwriting, and what's the difference of that in relation to what we saw with that offer we got?
You know, Lance, I'm going to start off by saying, and some loan officers might not like hearing this, but if a problem comes up in underwriting, 98% of the time it's the loan officer's fault. It's something they should have caught or dug a little deeper or explored that little red flag that might have been blinking out there at application. It's going to likely be the loan officer's fault for not taking their time, going through everything in detail before it ever gets to that point. Because like you said, it doesn't go to underwriting until they're under contract on a house. And the wheels are moving. That deal's supposed to be closing within a few weeks.
Right.
So an underwriter, I'll just kind of quickly explain our process. I'll review a file, take an application. I'll go through all the details, get all the documentation I need, then give that approval letter. Once it leaves my desk and they're under contract on a house, it'll go to my processing team, and they're in-house processors working in the same office as me, and their job is to round up any documentation that they think an underwriter might want. And that's going to be full verification of employment, maybe verifying earnest money is cleared, or little odds and ends that I knew that we can get down the process. So they're going to round up all that stuff, title, appraisal, everything, and submit the file to an underwriter. And the underwriter's job is to go through the file in great detail and do everything they can to make sure that loan won't default. And you can't do everything because you can't predict the future, but you can certainly look at what is their situation right now, and really they're just trying to alleviate any concerns or risks that a lender might have. Now, 15 years ago, the things were a lot different. Loans were basically approved until you can prove that you're actually declined. And now, really, your loan's declined.
I like that.
Until you can prove you're approved.
Right. No, that's a good, I like that. I have not heard that before. That's a good perspective on it.
So underwriters go through their tax returns, bank statements, everything with a fine-tooth comb, and they have a checklist that there's probably 100 things they need to check on every single file, and they're ultimately going to be the one that says this loan's approved and it can close, or no, it's not approved and it's not going to close.
And so that's the key, is you're saying, you know, it's not just a number somebody input on a website. Now that we're in underwriting, they're looking at bank statements. They're wondering, why did you have that extra $2,000 go out of your account last month? I don't see that happening the other months.
Why did you have an overdraft last month on this $5 purchase on your bank statement?
Right, exactly. And so they're wanting to, they're digging into all of those type of things, looking at the balances on the credit card, looking for any large cash deposits coming in.
Or your income maybe looks a little bit less than what it was last year. Is it going to go down even more in the future?
So this is really, really where the rubber meets the road, and we're going to find out. So I think I just wanted to bridge that gap between people of doing what you do really well, Tom, and saying, okay, the buyer has to be pre-qualified, but we're not talking about just a general pre-qualification letter. We're talking about going deeper with that buyer and really making sure you've asked all of the proper questions. Is their down payment liquid? Can they come up with that right away? Do they have to finalize the sale of a home in another city? Is that home already under contract? If that home's under contract, is the buyer of that home contingent on anything? Just last week I was calling an agent in another agent in town brings an offer. It's contingent upon a California deal. I'm calling that agent in California. I'm talking to her. I'm like, how's your deal going? Is your buyer contingent? I mean, you could be contingent four deep, and if you're not making those calls, you don't know. So number one way to wreck a deal is lack of pre-qualification with the buyer. Number two, and this has come up a couple times in the last couple months, we've had a pretty good market here, right? We've had lower inventory. We've talked about on the show. It's been a great year for real estate. People can sometimes get a little overzealous and overconfident with that, and it creates a problem. Number two that I wrote down is overpricing to the point where there's an appraisal issue. And what that means is that when you're presenting a pricing plan to a seller and you're talking to a seller and you're saying, here are the comparable properties to your property. Here is what the last four or five sales have shown in the last four or five months that says we should price at X. Okay, if then as a seller you're like, you know what? I don't really care about reality. Here's my price. That's what I got to get to move. Then you move forward saying, okay, that's fine, and that's your right to do that. You, by a miracle, you get a buyer to buy into that. Maybe the property is very unique or has some characteristics that make it unique above the comparables. You get a buyer to buy into that. A buyer using financing to purchase that house, however, though, is going to have an appraisal done by whoever is lending them the money, and that appraisal is going to have to support the purchase price the buyer is paying. If the bank does not think it's worth that, then they won't do the loan. So another great way to wreck a deal is to have a house overpriced to the point where there's going to be an appraisal issue.
You know, Lance is a great point. And from a lending side, really what we require is, let's say an appraisal comes in $10,000 low and the client was putting 5% down originally. If they want to move forward at that lower appraised value, they're going to have to make that same 5% down payment and make up the difference between the sales price and the appraisal.
Yep, absolutely. So that you're exactly right. So a buyer can have that choice, but depending upon the loan program they're using, they're going to be coming in with a lot more cash. We do see it wreck deals at times.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing that I put down was using seller net sheets and really not asking the right questions. Sellers need to know what liens or encumbrances you have against your property. when you are working with an agent, when you are selling your home, that agent that you're working with needs to know if you have one mortgage, two mortgages, you might have a HELOC, a home equity line of credit.
Maybe went down to the city and got energy improvement loans.
And that could be. And so knowing what those amounts are and what is owed against the property as you're working with the agent to get it sold is a very important thing. Those liens are just not magically not going to be there. And so you need to disclose those up front so that you can start working on those before you even have a buyer, when your house is really listed for sale. So these are some of the items that can really just, we call them, wreck a transaction, you call it bomb, just blow up the transaction. These are things you want to do ahead of time, be talking about during a transaction, so that we keep that, we worked so hard to put that deal together, now we want to keep it together to closing. When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking a little more to Tom Coyne at Umpqua, how you can get a mortgage for your house, what you need to know. And we're also going to be talking a little bit more about how you can prevent blowing up a deal.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every week talking about real estate. One of the biggest things is that we want to interview for the job of helping you sell your house or purchase your house. So if you're in the market or have friends or family that are in the market looking to buy a house or need help selling a house, feel free to go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot me an email, call me on my cell phone, 727-8977. We have some amazing clients, some amazing programs that we can use to help people purchase and to get their house sold. Speaking of amazing clients, we currently have some fantastic inventory on the market. I tell you what, we have my pick number one. I'm going to get my pick three done because we're going to run out of time. We have a great topic. We always have too much information. So first, let's get some amazing real estate that's out there right now in the Tri-Cities for sale. This first house we just did a price adjustment on, it is $2,399 Copperleaf in Horn Rapids. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,708 square foot house. It is better than new. It's a Rambler, so it's all on one level. It's out there in Horn Rapids. It's got your large great room, huge stunning fireplace that goes with it, kitchen, granite counters, stainless steel appliances, tile everywhere. This house is really, it's just about a year old, and it is priced below what the owners paid for it. They're just like, Lance, let's move this house. So all of that, basically brand new construction, plus they've gone ahead and done updates to the yard. It's move-in ready, $254,900 for a beautiful, brand new, super high-quality constructed home in Horn Rapids. So if you're looking for a deal, people always say, bring me a deal. So here's one. Market's gone up. We've priced less than what the owners purchased it for. And there's a fantastic deal for you out in Horn Rapids. Pick number two, we just listed 4203 South Tacoma Place in Kennewick. This is an amazingly updated four-bedroom, three-bath home on a cul-de-sac, so you get no traffic. Gorgeous hardwood floors on the main level, large kitchen with granite counters, granite backsplash. I mean, they've gone through and completely updated this place. Three full bathrooms, all featuring tile floor, matching marble tub surrounds. It's got RV parking, beautiful deck, huge yard, and that's priced at $229,900. So just fantastic, fantastic place up there off of Vancouver 45th area in Kennewick. So fantastic house for that price. A lot of square footage for that price. Pick number three is 5602 Alloway Court in West Richland. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath house, 2,000 square feet. You get a formal living room and a formal dining room, big kitchen, pantry, dining area. You've got a great office that's right off of the large family room, huge master with walk-in closets. And you've got a gorgeous, gorgeous swimming pool, in-ground swimming pool that's perfect for relaxing. Fully fenced backyard, also RV parking here. You're getting all of this for $245,000.
Wow.
So just some great, great inventory that's on the market right now. And a lot of good things to see this weekend. So if you're out driving around from the parade, you see a couple of those signs, something else you're interested in, feel free to give us a call, and we'd love to check that out. Now, Tom, we've been talking about great ways to bomb a transaction. Just blow it up. Let's just kill it. So how can we avoid these things? What are some of the things on your side from the lending that we want to make sure are happening or aren't happening?
You know, Lance, I'm so glad we're talking about this, because some of these things I'm going to go over, in my head, it just blows my mind that some of these things would happen in the middle of a transaction, but maybe people just don't know. So I put together a list of do's and don'ts when you're getting a loan. And, you know, I'd kind of like to explain it like, your loan officer is your best friend when you're buying a house. And you need to talk to them about everything and anything you're about to do with your finances before you do it. Just
Absolutely.
To make sure it's not going to make any issues down
the
road.
Well, that's hard for people because they're not used to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like you're divulging a bunch of private information. But you also want us to give you $200,000 to buy the house.
Picture a stranger coming up to you and saying, can I have $200,000 from you?
You might want to check a couple things out.
Yeah, and
okay.
That's what we're going to do. So, during the loan process, Just think, go to your lender, and anything that you're about to do that you think might even not have a chance, but maybe it does to affect your loan, ask them before you do it. And then once you're into your house, go back to your normal spending habits. But let's go over this do's and don'ts list. So do stay current on all of your existing debts that you have. That's credit cards, student loans, auto loans, your rent payment, everything. Now, we pull your credit initially, and that's what we give you an approval off of. But right before closing, I'm talking the day we send out your loan documents, we're going to refresh your credit report. And we're just going to make sure there's no late payments, the credit score hasn't changed, there's no new debts, nothing. So it's not over once we pull that initial credit report. We're going to refresh that credit. So I always just tell people, try to keep your balances where they were. If you charge up your credit cards, it could bring down your scores. If you miss a late payment, we're probably going to find out about it. Just try to keep everything just like you had it when you came in, with no late payments, and don't charge up any of your balances. Another one, keep working at your same employer.
Yes.
Lance, I swear this has happened.
I know it's happened. I've seen it.
We went to do a verification of employment. This was just a few months ago. And this is in processing right before we go to underwriting. And the employer sends our form back. And the very first question is, do they currently work with you? And it was circled no. So I called a client and said, so we got your verification of employment back, and I think there's a mistake. They said you don't work here anymore. Oh, well, yeah, I switched jobs.
Thanks.
Never had this talk. They never even thought to tell their lender. Nothing. They said, well, I already gave you my pay stubs. So keep working at your same employer. Again, one of the last things we do is a verbal verification of employment to make sure you're still working there. If you're thinking you're going to change jobs and you know that time is coming, talk with your lender, call me, and we'll work through it and make a game plan on how to work with that. You know, a lot of programs require, say, 30 days of pay stubs with a given employer, so it could create delays if you are planning to switch jobs. So, again, call your lender with any questions. Now, I want to talk about the don't list.
Okay.
There's a lot more don'ts.
Okay.
Right? Don't make any major purchases.
No.
No new car. Don't buy the new refrigerator for the new house. No furniture, nothing. Because, again, that stuff pops up when we do that refresh of the credit report. And let's say maybe the account's not even on the credit report yet, but we see the inquiry for Furniture Row. Well, we're going to know that they went down and applied for credit at Furniture Row. So then I have to call the client and say, what did you get? And they say, well, I spent $4,000 on a new living room set. Well, then that maybe has a $200 payment. And that $200 payment, hopefully it doesn't, but maybe it takes them over, and now they don't even qualify for the house anymore. So they got this great living room set, but they don't have a house to put it in.
Right. That's a problem.
It is. So no major purchases, no anything after you apply for your loan. And that just ties right in with don't apply for new credit, because those inquiries can also reduce your credit score.
Absolutely.
You don't want to open any new credit cards. Don't transfer any of your credit card balances. And this might throw people off, but like, so let's say you have charge-off for collections that are old. Maybe they're 2-3 years old. You don't want to pay them off unless you're told to do so by the lender.
Gotcha.
Essentially what that does is, let's say it was 2009, you had a collection, and it was never updated on your credit report. Well, now, you know, 4 or 5 years has gone by, and that has less of an impact on your credit score. When you go to pay it off, it'll refresh the history that you've paid it off, and it can actually reduce your credit by paying off those collections and charge-offs in the short run. In the short run is when you're buying your house. So don't pay those off unless the lender tells you you have to, because you don't want your credit scores to go down and, again, hurt your chances of getting the loan. You don't want to close any credit card accounts. Don't increase your debt. Again, that ties in with charging up accounts. Don't change your bank accounts. This is a big thing. Bank accounts is one of the things we always struggle with clients, is out-of-the-ordinary deposits or paper-trailing transfers. Just put your money in one bank account and keep it there until you're done with your loan. And then if you want to open a new bank account or transfer some funds around, you can do that. But it's just going to increase more work for you if you are transferring those funds around. You don't want to do anything out of the ordinary, really, with the bank. And those out-of-the-ordinary deposits is something that we always focus on. If we see a $5,000 cash deposit go in, we have to find out what that is. We want to make sure it's not a loan of some sort. And now that's an additional debt, and that increases monthly payments. So really, on this list, I think you're kind of coming up with a common theme. Just don't do anything out of the ordinary from the time you get approved for a home loan to the time you close on a loan. And if anything comes up that you need to do or you have questions on, talk to your loan officer and make sure it's okay and make sure it's not going to hurt your chances of getting qualified.
Great information, Tom. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Tom Coyne with Umpqua Bank, kind of breaking us down the do's and don'ts of lending in a transaction and what you need to look out for. We've also been talking today about bombs and transactions that can really blow up a transaction, cause a major problem, and kill a deal. Before the break, we went over a couple, and I've got a couple more here to wrap up with. Number 5 that I wrote down here was verbal agreements versus actual contracts. No. Okay, so McKay's laughing over there. He knows. We've told the stories. But what can happen a lot of times is when you're in a deal or you're doing a home inspection, and if what happens sometimes is you're there and you're with a seller and a buyer, and there's maybe the agent, you know, went around the corner to answer a phone call, and while your agent was on the phone, the seller says, "Hey, you know what? I'll just throw that patio set in on the front patio. I'll just leave it here for you when we go." And nobody else says anything. The agent comes back around the corner. How's everything inspection go? Oh, it's going great. Everything's good. Buyer is in a great mood because they got the results of the inspection. Then later that day, there were a couple items on there, but the buyer said, "You know what? That seller was such a nice guy. He's going to leave the patio furniture. I'm not even going to ask for any of these inspection items to be fixed." Well, about 15 days later, Tom funds the loan, does a great job on the loan. We close, and the buyer, say I represent the buyer. Buyer calls me in a panic and says, "Hey, that jerk didn't leave the patio set on the front porch." And I'm like, "What?" You know, and I start looking through paperwork, and then I'm going to say to the buyer, I don't have that in the contract. There's no record of that." "Well, yeah, we didn't write it down, but he said he was going to."
No.
"That guy's a real jerk. What can we do about it now?"
Absolutely nothing.
At this point, he's gone. You know, the deal's closed. He's got his check. The seller's left. And so not having items like that, and that's just one example of hundreds that I have, and that can happen. And so just to verify when you're in a deal, or if maybe your agents aren't there, or just like that example I gave, had to take a phone call, if there's something important about that transaction, please make sure that it gets documented and put in writing, because that can really... Normally, that's a worst-case scenario I gave after closing. A lot of times, 2 days before closing, you'll do a walkthrough. The house is vacant. The patio set's gone. And the buyer's like, "Well, I'm not closing on it. He said he was giving me the patio, and we don't have that in writing." And you go back and ask the seller about it. And the seller's like, I shouldn't have opened my mouth. My wife says we're not giving that away. You know, so needs to be in writing, definitely. Number seven that I wrote down, and this is a hard one because there's a couple different strategies that go along here in negotiation and stuff. But I put down, I wrote, being too slow with your counteroffer and negotiations. In today's society, we are an immediate yes, now society.
Instant gratification.
Answering emails within 5 to 10 minutes, getting back to people, instant messengers, Instagram. Okay, you see the theory here.
Mm-hmm.
So the modern buyer, and I don't say the modern, let's just say the generation of, that is purchasing a lot right now, are used to very quick answers. If you should consider as a seller, or even when you're a buyer and a seller counteroffers you, you should have a game plan ahead of time. You should think through a number of scenarios that if X happens, I'll do Y. If Z happens, I'll do X. Because a lot of times what will happen is a buyer will write an offer and they'll be like, okay, how long do we have to get back to them? Well, they wrote on the contract here they want to know by tomorrow at noon. And the seller will be like, oh my gosh, I can't make a decision that fast, or I can't. And that may be the case. Maybe there's factors of why you can't. But in today's society of quickness and instantaneousness, I would have an idea of what you would like to counter back, and I would try to expedite that because it keeps the transaction moving forward. It keeps the negotiations going. And a lot of times in today's society, that buyer will not hear an answer quick enough, and they'll move right on to the next property. And especially if it's a commodity or there's other houses available. If there's low inventory, you might have the luxury of waiting a little more. But being ready to respond quickly and efficiently, and we have some technology and some great tools that allow that to happen. We use digital signatures, DocuSign, so we can help expedite that on our end. But being ready to respond quickly is often overlooked in today's society. And so that's another way to kind of wreck a deal or wreck negotiations. And that really, we're coming up on the end of our time here. We could have probably talked about 7 or 8 more, but those are some of the biggest ones that we've been seeing in today's market. Tom, I know that you want to earn people's business in the mortgage business. If people need to get a hold of you or a chance for that interview, how can they get a hold of you?
You know, I would, if you're shopping around for a house and maybe you've already spoken to another lender, maybe you're already pre-approved, I'd still love the opportunity to give you a quote, give you an idea of what we can offer you. Hopefully we're saving you money and then you also see value in the service we offer. But definitely call me at the office, ask for Tom, phone number is 783-7300, or go to my website, TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
And if you need to get a hold of us about buying or selling property in the Tri-Cities, KenMoreTeam.com. And no matter what, well, I shouldn't say no matter what, you know, a major natural disaster. But if we can be, we're going to be right back here next weekend.
Right here on News Talk 870.